And we surrender to you now, asking you to change our lives unafraid, because your word says no eye has seen, no ear heard, nor has it entered into the mind of man the good things that you have prepared for those who will wait for you. We wait on you, Holy Spirit. We wait on you, God. Glorify the name of Jesus Christ, Father. Change our lives, God, that we would be responsible, be filled with your Spirit. Do whatever you want, Lord. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen. Since we're starting a new book, I'd like to start by reading Pastor Chuck's commentary on the book. He has a one-page commentary before every book. And I want you to know that whenever I'm studying the Word of God, I always have to have a foundational premise to start in. And my foundational premise is Chuck Smith. If you're new to church, if you're new to Calvary Chapel, should I say, the founder of the Calvary Chapel movement was Chuck Smith. Chuck Smith believed that you taught the Bible verse by verse, chapter by chapter, book by book. He got that from a commentary called Haley's Bible Handbook. When he was a young pastor, he was part of the Four Square Church, which is a very ultra-Pentecostal movement. And he just wanted to invite people to church, but every time he invited one of his friends as a kid to church, and there'd be some lady that got up and screamed in tongues, or the pastor would get, he'd be embarrassed. Oh, man. And I kind of understand that. There's a place and a time for that, according to the scriptures. So he picked up this book called Haley's Bible Handbook and started reading it. And in it, this man, Haley, wrote that the Bible should be taught systematically to the people, chapter by chapter, verse by verse, the whole counsel of God, as the Apostle Paul put it. And whenever I'm reading, whenever I'm studying the Bible, and I'm either confused or I start to develop my own opinion, which is so prevalent in the church today, people will develop their own opinion. Well, here's what I believe. I don't necessarily believe in the rapture. I don't necessarily believe in the second coming. I'm not pre-trib. I'm not post-trib. And they will show you their scripture basis for the different, what I call, isms that that they believe. I always revert back to Pastor Chuck. Somebody wants to tell me why Pastor Chuck was wrong, I'm all ears. But he's my bottom line. And it's really important to have a foundational premise to start on. That's why we here are Calvary Chapel. I always go back to Pastor Chuck, because I've listened to guy his every teaching that he's done on the Bible. Not every teaching he's done on the Bible, but I've listened to the whole Bible that he's taught. And I find the guy to be not just spirit-filled, but logical, life-changing. I recommend highly. Most of his teachings are on YouTube. Chuck Smith is his name. He also had something very interesting that he said, and I've said this many times before, and I think I'll say it until I return to the dust that I came from. If you believe something different that I believe, and you want me to believe it, show me how and show me why what you believe is different from what I believe that makes you more like Christ. Then I'll decide for myself if I need to believe it. But if you believe something different that I believe and it ain't making you more like Christ, probably not going to buy it. That was pretty good, right? Wish I'd have wrote that. The church in Thessalonica was a healthy, vibrant church, which had been founded by Paul when he was on his second missionary journey with Silas, Timothy, and Luke. Paul was only there in Thessalonica for less than a month and taught them for three consecutive Saturdays, according to Acts chapter 17. He moved on after a few weeks because of all the trouble that was going on there, but left behind a young but healthy church. Paul continued on his journey to Berea and then to Athens and Corinth. Apparently, while in Corinth, Paul received a report about how things were going in Thessalonica, including some questions the church had concerning some of his teachings. The book of 1 Thessalonians was written to answer their questions and correct some of their misunderstandings. Shortly after sending them the first letter, he received reports of other questions and misunderstandings they had, and he wrote this, his second letter, to further clarify what he had taught them previously. Whereas 1 Thessalonians was primarily focused on the rapture of the church, Members had been worried that those who had recently died would miss the rapture, and Paul comforted them by letting them know that those who died would precede us and meet us in the air. 2 Thessalonians is more directed at the Great Tribulation and the second coming of Christ. There were people who were teaching that the Great Tribulation was already upon them, and that believers were going to go through the Great Tribulation. Paul corrected this error by letting them know, although they were going through tribulation, it was not the Great Tribulation. That period of time will be clearly distinguishable by the rising of the Antichrist as a world leader, and it will end when Jesus returns to the earth to destroy his enemies. Paul distinguishes between the rapture, where Jesus takes us, his believers, into the air to meet him, and the second coming, following the Great Tribulation, where he will return to subdue the earth and set up his earthly thousand-year reign. So again, the first letter comforts Christians by telling us that the rapture is coming, while the second letter comforts us by letting us know that we are not presently in the Great Tribulation, and we will not go through the Great Tribulation. Glorious assurance, especially to those who are presently suffering. Pastor Chuck. It's a crazy thing I want to set up for you. Since we're going to be looking at the Great Tribulation, I want to talk a little bit about what preceded, what came before the Great Tribulation. In the book of Revelations, there's letters to the church. There's a warning in 2nd and 3rd chapter of Revelation about these churches who would find themselves in a place of compromise, who would find themselves heaping up for themselves teachers telling them what their itchy ears wanted to hear, looking for places where worship was for them, looking for kids do it all the time. It's all right. She okay? It's good seeing you, sweetie. We're glad you're here. You're welcome. So the hallmark of this time period was this great period of, let me put it this way, laziness. And you know what the scariest part of the book of Revelation is? You don't see the United States anywhere in it. They don't talk about this great nation, this Christian nation. You understand that we're the first nation ever to be founded on the principles of Christ and the Bible, built upon the Ten Commandments given to man, built upon the premise that all men are created equal. Do you realize that? What we have here in this country is something so very special. If you're of the ilk, if you're of the membership of this self-pity club, this wokeness, who thinks that America is racist, xenophobic, homophobic, you should go back to Sukkistan, where you came from, and find out what racism's all about. Because if you think we're racist here, if you think we're homophobic here, kiss your boyfriend in the streets of Egypt. See what building they throw you off of. In the name of Allah. Get caught cheating on your wife in Saudi Arabia. Get caught cheating on your husband. Maybe you're one of those people who thinks that the Eastern European countries, you know, the ones that are quote unquote supposed to be socialist, the ones that are 95% white, you know, those countries. You can move there and find out how unsocialist they are. Now, why am I saying it like that for? I'm really, really serious. I'm not trying to make a tie-in here that doesn't exist. The church in Thessalonica was going through some pretty heavy-duty prosecution and persecution. The government was against them and the people were against them. And the chances and the opportunities they had to make a difference were before them. And as young believers, it was kind of scary. What are we supposed to do? You know, I just kind of fell into this thing. And now it was being proclaimed by Rome. Christianity was outlawed. The Jews hated them. The Romans hated them. The leadership hated them. What do you do? Do you pick up a weapon and fight? Do you sit back and do nothing? God's going to do what God's going to do. You know that very famous saying these days? It is what it is. What do you do? Well, we have something that we can do here. It's called voting. Next week is our election. Maybe some of you already voted. In case you've been told by CNN or MSNBC or even Fox News, let me straighten you out on some of these things, okay? This is Donald Trump and this is Joe Biden. If you believe in taxpayer-funded abortions up to the ninth month, as a matter of fact, there's a governor in Virginia, if your baby's born, you can decide then if you want to keep it. And then if you and your doctor decide you don't want the baby might be sick or injured, then you could snuff the baby out. I'm not making this up. 20 years ago, we talked about this. My pastor, Pastor Bob, used to talk about this. Ah, yeah, but that's so far away. It ain't far away no more. Donald Trump opposes taxpayer-funded abortions. Joe Biden supports them. Born Alive Abortion Survivor Protections. The Born Alive Abortion Survivor Protection Act would provide life-saving medical care for babies who survive a failed abortion. Donald Trump supports it. Joe Biden refuses to comment. You know, when I was growing up, there was a very famous song. I'm keeping my baby. So next time these self-righteous, self-made rock stars, movie stars, celebrities want to tell you how to live, I want you to say to them, so how's that working for you? I want you to take the most vocal opponents of the United States and the United States government, let alone the president. When I was growing up, every one of my friends, myself included, idolized Robert De Niro. Man. I knew guys that were wise guys that acted like him, and he wasn't a wise guy, he was just an actor. But he played a wise guy so good, we thought that's how you're supposed to act if you're a wise guy. He's been married like 6 times. His kids are so jacked up. His ex-wives, this guy's made hundreds of millions of dollars and he can't make his payments on all his wives. I'm following that guy. Madonna, last election cycle, offered to give oral sex to anybody who would vote against Trump. But it's okay, because Bruce Springsteen just declared he's going to move to Australia if Donald Trump wins. And I know he doesn't need it, but I offered to buy the ticket. I look at it like, if Australia is your second choice, you really need to be there. 2 weeks ago, a woman in Australia, maybe about 4 weeks ago now, put online that she was against the radicalization of Islam and that she would support a march keeping Australia Australians. So they arrested her. She was 6 months pregnant. They came to her house. They handcuffed her in front of her two little children and took her pregnant away. Did anybody see that story? Coming to a town near you. Religious liberties, protecting business owners' ability to run their business in accordance with biblical teachings about marriage, family, and sexuality. Donald Trump supports this. Joe Biden opposes this. I can go on and on and on about religious freedoms, the courts, the embassy moved to Jerusalem. You guys know about that? The epicenter of religion, of belief, of faith, is Israel, for all of us. The center of this, according to Ezekiel, according to Isaiah, is Jerusalem, according to the book of Psalms. The prophet Ezekiel said that in the end times, Jerusalem will be a cup of trembling to the entire world. Jerusalem is not much bigger than Pompano. But he said, this prophet, that the whole world would be looking at it like it's the end all and the be all. Israel wants to put their embassy, the epicenter of their religious and political belief system, and the entire world has opposed it. They said if they built an embassy in Jerusalem, it would take 3 years. Donald Trump built it in 3 months. He hired the contractors. He paid them. And he was the first country to support it. Now there's about a dozen countries, even some Middle East countries, that are supporting it. You support Israel, God will support you. You oppose Israel. Well, I think it was Moses who wrote, I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse those who curse you. What does this have to do with the Bible study, you may ask? How many years do you think we're behind this church in Thessalonica? 3 months ago, they told us we couldn't meet as a church. They told us no church meeting. Dino had friends in the city. With a wink and a nod, we got the okay. Just keep it on the down low. Keep it on the down low? The heck is that? Well, you don't want to, you know, you got to not spread the disease. Yeah, I understand that, you know, but this is America. If I want to die of a disease, it's kind of like my thing. Does that sound stupid to some of you? If it does, I will suggest to you, you forgot what America was founded on. Now, libertarian speaking, and libertarian is the next big political party, you can do anything you want, as long as don't hurt somebody else. You want to do drugs? Let's legalize cocaine. Joe Biden just said the other night he does not believe that people should be put in jail for drugs. Should not be put in jail for drugs. If you get arrested on a drug charge, you should not be put in jail. You should go into a program. My brothers and sisters, that's called legalization. That's the libertarian viewpoint. Oh, Unless, of course, you're of the wrong political party. And since the Christian church is known now, we're known Trump supporters. I don't know how that started, but we're known. So therefore, you shall not gather. If I asked Cole to put up on the screen for you a gathering 2 weeks ago in California of worshipers, and they were told by the governor, do not worship God, and they defied those orders, and they met outside in their parking lot, band playing, they're singing songs to God, hands raised, while the hands are raised, cops are walking up and putting them behind their back, handcuffing them and taking them away for defying the governor's orders. Coming to a town near you, I happen to be an independent voter. I do not file as a Republican or a Democrat. I think the Republicans in most every way are as bad as the Democrats. They're as corrupt and as lying. There's too much money in this business now. These people aren't servants. They're just rich. Joe Biden's been in public service for almost 50 years, and somehow his net worth is reported at $9 million. Now, how a guy in public service could be reported to have $9 million in the bank, but maybe I should get into politics. Okay. Supports repealing the Hyde Amendment to allow government to fund abortions. Supports codifying the right to abortion. Democrats believe every woman should be able to access reproductive health care services, including safe and legal abortions. Oppose and will fight to overturn federal and state laws that create barriers to reproductive health and rights. Opposes current FDA safety restrictions on chemical abortion pills. Supports repealing President Trump's changes to the Title X programs that separate abortion from federal family planning grants. That is what's called the Democrat platform. If you vote for anybody who is in the Democratic Party, Democrats, that's what you're voting for. These papers are outside. You can see what is and what is not. Not what they're putting on TV, not my name is Donald J. Trump and I approve this ad, but what they publicly say they are going to do. And if you do nothing, if you don't vote, if you don't speak up, when you see yourself in the church of Thessalonica, and your church is being told they cannot gather, and your pastor is arrested because he's preaching the Bible, and the Bible says that homosexuality is a sin, thus he is promulgating hate speech, and he can get arrested, and they install their own pastor in place like they do in China, like they do in Venezuela, like they do in so many communist/socialist countries, don't be surprised and don't complain because you did nothing. Well, what are we supposed to do? I know what we should do. Each one of us need to get our concealed weapons permit, stock up on ammo, and get ready for the civil wars coming. No, that's not our calling. It's a great idea. I'm totally down with it. But man, it bumps my spirit hard. Too late? Already there?
Security guards doing it.
it's all shady. Like I said, I don't think that Trump's a whole lot better than Biden. Right now, he's on the Republican platform, which supports these things, but will he do them when the time comes to do them, when there's pushback, when it's not as popular? I don't think our answer is the president. I agree. And should the governments be doing those things? No. Should the local authorities hold these people accountable? Yeah, for sure. But there will be no peace until the Prince of Peace comes. Yeah, and I agree with you, Em, but here's the thing. He's in control, but he's also given us control over what we do, and we have to stand up and do something. Because our time's coming. For this reason, we were born in this place and time. Who ever here imagined when they were a kid growing up that they would see the next pandemic, worldwide, million people plus killed pandemic? Who ever dreamed that we'd see, put your mask on? You know, who dreamed? Not that there's anything wrong with masks. Listen, you know, I showed you guys the statistics, you know, when two people are sitting this close to each other and they're talking without masks, there's a 98% chance that they're going to spread a virus. You spread 5 feet apart, now you cut it down 20 feet. One person puts a 20%. One person puts a mask on and you talk, now you've cut it down. You know, if two people are standing 6 foot apart and both of them have masks on, you have a 95% chance of not spreading the virus if one of them has it and one of them doesn't. So, you know, there's not... But if you think that masks are the end-all and the be-all and they're going to keep you safe, I got about 40 people at my work and at my house that'll tell you it ain't the truth. Because in 36 hours, every single one of us had it. And you know what? Praise God. Nobody even had to go to the hospital. And I don't chance that. I don't, you know, think that's luck or anything like that. I just keep moving forward. What are you going to do? You gonna live in fear? Well, you can do that. I ain't going to do that. I got a really cool letter today. Just opened the mail. I got to read this to you. This is from Neil Vandery, the officiator at the Church of the Perpetual Life. The Church of Perpetual Life sent me a letter. Greetings, Pastor. I represent a church in Hollywood. We are looking to buy a church in your area, and we would love to rent the church back to your congregation. Since we only have services once a month on a Thursday evening, you could sell and stay in place for as long as you wish with very little to no changes. This would infuse your congregation with cash, and you would not have any more maintenance costs. Please contact me if you would like to discuss this further, or if you know a church that might be interested in doing this. You can reach me on my cell phone number at such and such, such and such, or Neil at perpetuallife.com. We are looking to be in the North Broward County or South Palm Beach County area, somewhere between Pompano and Del Rey. Good one. Are you freaking kidding me? Woe unto them that call darkness light and light darkness. Man, this guy ain't even like playing. There ain't like a Bible verse on here. There ain't like a God bless you, which usually the lying heathens put in there. This guy ain't even playing. He ain't even making believe. We want to buy your property. We own it. You get the cash. Pastor, you've been dreaming for some cash. We got you. And don't worry. We're never going to raise the rent. Hey, there ain't even a cross on here, so that's cool. Chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy, to the church of the Thessalonians and God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, before I go to the rest of it, let me tell you this. The mood that we have right here, that kind of somber, agitated, depressed, that's what these people live with, guys. They're going to go out there and get in their car, put their key in, and drive away. This is what their life was. This is where we're going to be in probably 10 to 20 years, maybe less. If this turd gets into office, We got problems. Now, if you're sitting here asking me which turd, you ain't even listening to anything I said. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is fitting, because your faith grows exceedingly, and the love of every one of you all abounds toward each other, so that we ourselves boast of you among the churches of God for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that you endure, which is manifest evidence of the righteous judgment of God, that you may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God for which you also suffer. Please give me your attention. The Lord Jesus said this. I want you to do this. I want you to deny yourself, pick up your cross, and follow after me daily. For he who seeks to save his life is really losing it. But he who seeks to lose his life for the sake of the kingdom will find it. Now let me add a little bit of water, a lot of water. And water down the Church of Thessalonica for you for a second. That's us. I want you to know that you go to a church that is held around the country, around the county, around the state, as one of the best churches you can go to. And the people that come to church here and they see what it is we do, they go, man, you guys are a real church. And then they never come back. Pastors visit here and they go, man, I love the way you infuse the prayer in the middle there. Man, I love the way you don't compromise the word. And then they go back to their church and just do things the same old, same old. 15 minutes in, 15 minutes out. Come on now, you go by church by the glade. 6 services on a Sunday. In not an hour. Be home for brunch. Come on. That pastor told me, Ryan, I love what you do. You're the real deal, bro. I said, David, why don't you do it? Why don't you stop what you're doing, man? Stop with the TV and the movie references. Stop. And everybody's got their different way. So you're encouraging me, but you're really not believing what you're saying. No, you do your thing. I do my thing. Ryan, I hate when you make fun of other churches. It's so unbecoming. It's not cool. Don't make fun of other religions. You've already put down 2 other religions while we've been here, and now you're putting down other churches. I won't come back if you keep doing that. You guys ever see the movie Tombstone? There's a great scene in the movie Tombstone where a guy looks at him and goes, well, bye. I'm going to go late today. Some of y'all might not come back next week because of that. Man, you get here, church supposed to start at 10. You guys didn't start till almost 10:30 today. I don't understand. 15 minutes of prayer. How long are you going to preach the word for, Ryan? This ain't the Ryan Gitman show. No, it's absolutely not. It's absolutely not. It's not the Ryan Gitman show. It's the Lord Jesus show. And I can't finish until I finish. And I can't stop until the word of God's gone forward. And what do you want me to tell those people who put those prayers in? Hey, you know what? Next week. I sit down there. The prayer's over. This lady tells me about her sick aunt who's dying of cancer, a cousin or whatever. Where I say, will you stop giving me prayers so late? I'm busy up here, you know? Do it every week. I got some things to do, Danielle. Guys, I mean this sincerely. Everything that the Apostle Paul said about the church in Thessalonica, that's what they say about our church all around the country. We're a picture of what every church wants to be. unity and peace and brotherhood and fellowship, no compromise. You know how many pastors want to teach here? Because you guys can handle it. I'm so honored and blessed to be a part of you guys. You guys show up every week. Give me the word. Let's pray. Let's worship. Another one? You're going to do a second song? Another song? Hey, listen, this might not be the church for you. You see what he said here? Because your faith grows exceedingly, and the love of every one of you abounds toward each other, so that we ourselves boast of you among the churches of God for your patience and your faith. You guys have a lot of patience. You wait here 2.5 hours every week for me to stop talking. I love that. And the persecutions and tribulations that you endure, which is manifest evidence of the righteous judgment of God, that you may be counted worthy of the kingdom for which you also suffer. And then verse 6 is like my favorite verse in the entire Bible. Since it is a righteous thing with God to repay with tribulation those who trouble you. I love that verse. And to give you who are troubled rest with us when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know God and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, you want it watered down? You're going to have to go somewhere else. Here's the bottom line. Christ came to save sinners, of whom I'm chief. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. If you are not believing in the Lord Jesus Christ for your salvation, you're going to go to hell. It's that simple. If you will make your life planted here, let your roots go down, serve God here, God will use you mightily in this place and in this world and change you. Met with a young man this morning, sitting before me, crying with tears, I can't stop doing what I'm doing. What I do, I hate, and I do it anyway. What I don't do, I want to do, and I have no power to do it. And in my head, all I'm hearing is Romans chapter 7. I'm just hearing the Apostle Paul say the same thing. What are you going to do about it? Don't judge me! Y'all judging me! Well, if judging you means that I'm telling you what you're doing wrong, then why did you come here? Used to have a pastor. His name was Generino De Stefano. Used to have a sign up in his house that said, "Why do you complain when we ask you to change when that's what you came here for?" Yeah. Why am I complaining? Because I'm a child. That's why. Verse 9, "These shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power, when he comes in that day to be glorified in his saints and to be admired among all those who believe, because our testimony among you was believed." He's trying to tell them that you cannot be a church to be a church. You can't exist to exist. If all you are is a church that exists to exist, you've missed the point of being a church. Have you not served God at your church? Have you not taken a stance on some particular opportunity? What are you doing then? What are you doing? Listen, if you're building up to something, cool. I'm going to keep slicing some word off and throwing it at you. But when you get filled, instead of spiritual indigestion, try service. Try showing up maybe on a Saturday and cleaning up the grounds. Try asking Nicolino or Cole or any of the other servants, "Hey, do you guys need any help with those teenagers? I know they could be a handful." Try Man, see somebody who's here and say, hey, do you need a ride to church? We lose a lot of them. Angels talk too long, right? Therefore, we also pray always for you, that our God would count you worthy of this calling and fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness and the work of faith with power, that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you and you in him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, here's where we finish, but here's where we actually start, and here's where it goes. He didn't say any of the things that I said. He didn't talk about their prosecution or persecution. He didn't talk about the government. He didn't talk about how they should feel sorry for themselves because life's against you and your neighbor this and this politician that and that government. Nothing. He didn't say none of that stuff, did he? You know why? Like Emily said, because God's in control. I got a better idea. Let's do exactly what the Apostle Paul just said. Let me paraphrase. Let me take his run-on sentences and make it this long for you. Stop feeling sorry for yourself and do something for God. That's what he just said. That's literally what he said. Stop feeling sorry for yourself. Do something for God. There's people dying every single day and going to hell. Probably your own family members.
Well, the thing was, we went to dinner last week and they were rude. I asked if they would pray, and they made a funny comment to me, you know. I went to my mother's house, and she was rude to my kid. I mean, I'm just going to put it straight out. I know it's her grandchild, but she was rude to my kid.
Really? This is what you're worried about? They're dying and going to hell. They don't know the Lord, and you ready for this? You might be the only Bible they read. You might be the only Bible they read. You close your Bible. If you gentlemen would hand out those, didn't you say we were doing the elements today? How come nobody's getting up and doing that then? I thought I missed something. I thought I screwed up. Thank you, guys. So here's the thing now. Thessalonica was part of a young church, the persecution on them was great, and the prosecution on them was coming. Now, prosecution on us, it's just becoming, it's just starting. The persecution on us, that's been here. And at what point in time God, thank you, bro. At what point in time God takes us out of here, raptures us? Hey, some people think this. Well, here's what's going to happen. Here's how they define it. Well, here's what's going to happen. When the rapture happens, that's when the real tribulation starts. So, and they deduce that. They go, well, because the real tribulation hasn't started yet, not for us. And here's what's going to happen. You don't know how bad it's got to get before we get into it. We don't know at what point in time. When he says great tribulation, if you read the stuff that's going to go on, it's going to get really, really, really bad. Like as in really bad. Read 7, 8, and 9 in the book of Romans. Thank you, bro. Hey, I didn't mean to be so heavy today. That's a lie. I'm sorry. Completely sorry. I just completely lied about that. I really planned this thing all week long. I did. I knew I was going to say crazy and heavy things, and some people were going to get offended. And then I apologize for lying, but not for being crazy. I did this again. I hate these things. Honey, when can we stop using these things? Oh, I got it. Yeah, can I get that one?
Yeah.
You want that one?
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Oh. You even opened it for me? Thanks, Ma. So here's what communion is. In case you're new to this whole thing, This is a sacrament that the church does to identify themselves with Christ. It's one of those things we make as a holy moment. So this here, this piece of bread, it represents the body of Christ. And when you take it, and hold off, don't eat it yet. When you take it, you're saying to God, you know what, God? I want all of you in all of me. So here's kind of the commitment. I've had a lot of struggles in the last few days. It's like, it's this weird thing. I've been really, really angry the last few days. I'm seeing all this stuff go on, and I think I'm taking it out on the people I love most. It's like, if this election cycle and this news cycle is just going to make me so mad that I'm going to be mean to people, then I'm going to stop watching it. But if I stop watching it, it's not going to change nothing, is it? It's not going to be like it's not going to happen. It's going to happen, and then I'm just going to be ignorant of it. Yeah, but if I'm ignorant of it and I'm not taking it out on people, wouldn't that even be better? I don't know. But I bet a lot of you can relate to that. So for me, right now, I need this. I need this. And this is a representation of the new covenant. This is a representation of God's Holy Spirit entering your life and forgiving you of your sins in a supernatural way, not a natural way. You see, forgiveness of sin used to be a natural thing. If you believe in the Ten Commandments, then don't have any gods before him, don't kill, don't steal. Don't murder, don't steal, don't covet. You know the rest of them. If you don't do those things, then because you're good enough, then you get to go to heaven. And we all found out the hard way, ain't none of us keeping that thing. And unfortunately, the Bible says in both Old and New Testament, if you break one of the commandments, you've broken them all. And then the Lord Jesus made it even worse. And he said, if you look at a woman to lust in your heart, you've committed adultery with her. Like, oh my goodness. Like, wow, I'm smoked completely, right? If you're not, you're better than me. So to have a holy moment with God, to have this, because I'm still torn between the first question I asked you when we first started. Do we take up arms? When they come for our church, what are we going to do? One of the greatest things I loved about Martin Luther King Jr., when the government in Alabama came against him, Bull Connor with the dogs and the cops with the bats and the hoses, these young, strong believers in Christ, they got on their knees and started praying and got the crap beat out of them. And that's how they won the civil rights movement. They didn't win it with violence and anger and wrath, socialism, Black Lives Matter, Antifa. That didn't win nothing. You know what that won? Civil war. And that's what's coming. Unless we do something about this. And I don't know what's going to be worse, Joe Biden or Donald Trump. But for me, I got to go with the party that's pro-life, because I've been pro-death my whole life. And I got 5 women in my life whose baby I murdered because it was good for me. So that's where I'm at. I don't stand on the pro-life side with some platform that I've done something so great, now you can't. I'm standing here saying, look, man, I stepped in that pile. I drugged that around a while. I can't do it again. And Lord, help me not to let others do that. Because the baby goes to heaven. Baby ain't got nothing to worry about. It's the women that do that to themselves that have to carry that around. That death that reigns in their life. This is the body of the Lord Jesus. And the night that he was crucified, he took it, And he tore a piece of it, and he said, hey, take, eat this. Do this in remembrance of me. My prayer is, God, help me to remember you when I'm angry, when I'm lustful, when I'm wrathful, when I'm vengeful, when I'm prideful, and when I'm arrogant. Please, God, help me. Go ahead. Then he took the cup. He said, this is the cup of the new covenant, which is the representation of my blood, which is shed for you, he said. Which means this. No more do's and don'ts. Strictly a belief system now. Believe in me, and you will be free, and you will be forgiven, and you will be with me when your heart beats its last. If you don't, you won't. Got that? It's real simple. I will reaffirm my belief in Christ and my destination of heaven by saluting my Lord Jesus and saying, I acknowledge and want to glorify you, God. Thank you for this opportunity. It's never been you, God. It's always been me. I've been wrong this whole time. You've always been right. I'm not a 16-year-old kid who thinks I've been done wrong and I got dealt a bad hand anymore. From now on, God, I will pick up my cross, deny myself, follow you daily. If that's your heart too, go on. The one good thing about these plastic cups is people don't sit there and crunch them. Because with those plastic ones, everybody's like, they think that's like a thing. Hail Jesus, you're my king. Your life leads me to sing. I'll praise you all my day. We had a really heavy service. It's over now. So get up and worship God with me, would you please? Hail Jesus, you're my king. Your life leads me to sing. I'll praise you all my day. Perfect in all your ways. Hail Jesus, you're my Lord. I will obey your word. Want to see your kingdom come. Not my will, but yours be done. Glory, glory to the Lamb. You take me into this land. We will conquer in your name. We proclaim that Jesus reigns. Hail, hail, Lion of Judah. How wonderful you are. Hail, hail, Lion of Judah. How powerful you are. Glory, glory to the Lamb. You take me into this land. We will conquer in your name. We proclaim that Jesus reigns. We proclaim that Jesus reigns. Hail, hail, Lion of Judah. How wonderful you are. Hail, hail, Lion of Judah. How powerful you are. How merciful you are. How wonderful you are. Lord willing, we'll see you tonight. Anybody that's up by the beach and it's raining at like 5:30 or so, please text somebody, let us know, and we will meet right here for an afterglow service otherwise. See you at the nighttime service.